This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
That's right. Thank you, Edith, and welcome to ENN on a Monday. The gang back together. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Brandon, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yes, that's how they say it.
Great town.
I don't understand something. State. I really...
That's, you know what, over time...
That could grow.
That could grow. That really could. And good evening, Don.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey. No, it's Bennett.
See, they're wearing this out, Don. You can't use it too much.
We hadn't heard it all. That's been at least a week. I hadn't heard stench in at least a week.
What?
Right. I hadn't.
Don, I was listening last week. He had one of the great. They didn't put it on my screen, so it's probably too dirty. But I immediately got to RJ, so we're going to need that as a drop. I'll play it for you privately.
I don't know what you're referring to, but I did have a couple of things. I'm sorry?
Did they make it a drop, Mike?
I haven't seen it. It's not on my page, so I guess they didn't.
It does exist. It does exist.
Is it playable? Is it airable?
I'd have to go to the replay booth ahead of time. I don't want to go to the replay booth after I do it.
It's fine. Believe me, I said it on the air. It can't be that bad. If it didn't get dumped in real life, it's
yeah, but it didn't get
legal.
Wait, it did it, in the context in which you said it.
Right.
It was fine, but if you just played it as a clip, it's disgustingly, unnervingly filthy.
Wow. Well, that must be all about the beholder, right there.
Now, I got to hear this.
RJ,
can you play it for me during the break at least?
Did Anthony leave you anything from Friday? Because there was some good stuff said about Chris Carlin by me.
I would have to check. I'm sure it exists.
Yeah, there were some interesting moments about me calling Chris an egghead and things of that nature. And by the way, thank you to Chris Carlin. He was great last week. It was obviously a very intense week in the world of sports, and Chris was a great dance partner.
That egghead is my friend, Chris Carlin.
That's right. Let's remember that, guys. Especially you, Michael, when you have things to say about him. And poor Chris, I had a rant last week that got a lot of views, and many people heard me ranting at some idiot on the phones, and there were people who just saw Chris sitting there and thought Chris was that idiot.
I feel bad.
They're like, look at that guy. He just knows he's a piece of garbage. I'm like, no. He doesn't know that. That's not true. It's my friend. All right, the Mets made moves today, guys. First, started with a trade for Rangers catcher Robinson Chirinos. Later, it came out that former Met Todd Frazier was also a part of the deal. And the Rangers will be getting a player to be named later from the Mets. Then, also at the deadline, they traded for relief pitcher Miguel Castro. They sent Kevin Smith, a left-hander, and possibly cash or another player at a later date.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know right now with the pandemic. Clerks 3, I think, is just basically on the table.
I was going to go there. I said, let Don have this.
I'm not sure right now whether that's much of a give up. If it wasn't the pandemic, I'd say, you know what, you got to see that through. But when's it going to hit theaters anyway? So if Kevin's got to go, he's got to go.
Now,
Let's real quick, before you weigh in, let's just hear from Brody or Brody, depending on the spelling, on the trades that were made before the deadline.
We wanted to make sure that we were looking at a way to continue to keep our business model in place, which is contend right now and also not lose sight of what the short-term and long-term future is for the organization. So we weren't motivated to move from the top of our prospect system, but we also wanted to show this team and show this market that we are far from quitting on this season, that this is a year that hasn't gone as smoothly as we would have liked, and we have a lot of bunching up from teams in the National League, particularly in our division. We've got to play better baseball, but we think these three pieces can help us do that.
That's funny because he thinks they still have a chance, and then the Diamondbacks sold everybody off, and they said, you know, this is nowhere near the year that we thought we were going to have. The Diamondbacks have one fewer win than the Mets. Well,
and is it? I was going to bring this up earlier. Do you think there are general managers or owners that look at it and say, I don't think it's worth it this year? 60-game schedule, everything's compromised.
I could see it.
You know, because you know there are fans that are out there thinking that. Chris Carlin thinks that. So if you're a general manager and an owner, I guess more an owner, because a general manager's got to do what his ownership tells him to do. They're like, well, I'm not going to sell the future. Even if we win the championship this year, what does it mean?
Now, can I anger Chris Carlin just a bit? Because I know he listens to us religiously.
Is he coming up at 7? It's always a mystery.
You never know. John Daniels of the Rangers, local guy. I want him to do well. I mean, how many kicks at the can does he get in Texas to keep rebuilding? I mean, really, how many kicks at the can do you get? They're dreadful. So he's restarting again?
I mean, those championship runs, that was a decade ago.
Yeah. And they haven't contended. It's not like they make the playoffs every year. They're terrible. And they just opened a brand new ballpark and they're terrible. And he fired Buck Showalter, and I hold that against him, too.
Well, an icon passed away today. A Hall of Fame coach of Georgetown basketball, John Thompson, died at 78 years old. It was announced in a statement by his family earlier today. No details disclosed. Of course, he turned Georgetown into a powerhouse and became the first black coach to lead a team to the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. He was an incredibly celebrated and polarizing figure in basketball. Took over Georgetown in 1972. They ended up, the Big East formed in 1979. And, of course, he gets the national title in 84 with Patrick Ewing. Let's hear from the great P.J. Carlissimo, who was on with Greeny earlier, talking about John Thompson.
What he did for that university, I mean, you're talking a great university to begin with, but, you know, that, when you talk about Georgetown basketball, with all due respect to Patrick and Alonzo and Dikembe and Allen Iverson, all the guys you talked about, talk about John Thompson. The constant was John. The players came and went. John Thompson was the constant. And from the day he got there, it was amazing the way he transformed Georgetown basketball and helped that athletic program so much. I mean, so many of the buildings that were built, a couple of them, John donated. A few of them are named after John, I believe. But he was so great for that university.
Allen Iverson sending out several messages. He tweeted, "May you always rest in paradise where there's no pain or suffering. I will always see your face in my mind, hoping that I made you proud. Your prodigal son, hashtag Hoya for life." Thompson was an absolute icon in my childhood in D.C. I mean, he wasn't Joe Gibbs, but he was right there. I mean, it's just an absolute D.C. icon, and just so big for a really long time, and then also as a sports talk show host in D.C. So he will be missed. Truly an all-time great.
And then, you know, we talked about it with Boeheim. We're never going to see those times again, because Georgetown, when you were growing up, Peter, it's like a professional team, because Mourning was going to be there. Ewing was going to be there. One and done has killed college basketball in that sense. Yeah. Now, I think Iverson only stayed there 2 years, which was rare for Georgetown, but you knew what you were getting. You knew that you were getting, you know, when Villanova came to town, you knew that Ed Pinckney was going to be there. You knew that Mullen was going to be there for St. John's. And, I mean, Thompson just recruited unbelievable players there, and they stayed, and that they made that team like a professional team. It was great.
Yeah, it was a special.
Did you ever meet him, Peter?
I don't recall.
Intimidating.
Yeah, I think I would have had the memory of the intimidation.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I was a professional journalist, and I mean, you were afraid to ask the question the wrong way because he'd jump you. He would jump you.
Our Andrew story earlier was tremendous, of getting terrified by John Thompson. Yeah, and also 6'10". Also, a couple of championships with Bill Russell, drafted by the Celtics in 1964, and played a couple of seasons in the NBA before finding his calling in coaching.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did you guys watch the Jamal Murray show last night?
50 points, right?
Yeah, Jamal Murray has been something else. And you know what, Don? I argued with you a while ago about the scoring records, and you were saying that you believe scoring records will be set.
Yes.
After
Somebody
now
will
watching
score 100 points again.
After watching what these NBA playoffs have been like, I may be leaning more towards you. Jamal Murray scored 50 as the Nuggets force a game 7 against Utah. An absolute duel with Donovan Mitchell. Let's hear from an emotional... No, this is not Jamal Murray. Let's hear from his coach, Mike Malone, on the series that Jamal's had.
What Jamal's done the last three games is unbelievable. You know, I've been blessed to have been around some great players in this game. LeBron, CP, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. But I've never seen a guy go 50, 42, and 50. And two of those games being elimination games. So talk about a young man putting a team on his back and that will to win, to do whatever is necessary to find a way to get the win is tremendous. And to do it after this, you know, we hadn't played since Tuesday. And to do it with everything that's taken place in the last three, 4 days, all the emotions, all the raw emotion, makes it that much more impressive. So I'm running out of things and superlatives for Jamal Murray. I just want to say I'm proud of him.
By the way, we got to show a little love to Carmelo Anthony for his performance on Saturday night.
He's a stud,
right?
He, you know what? He restarted his career.
He really did.
He's going to be wanted next year by a lot of teams. He had to beg to get this job.
And I mean, Saturday night, he kept them in that game. I mean, they Portland made it interesting, and he was there. He was not their third or fourth option. He was the option on Saturday night. I mean, CJ was good, but it was really Carmelo Anthony. Let's hear from Carmelo on why Portland was a good fit for him.
Whenever you find a situation that's comfortable and allow you to be who you are, You want to stay in that situation. There's no need to try different things when something is working. So it's something that I haven't thought about. Actually, even now, it's something that I'm not even thinking about that. When it happens, it happens. If it happens, it happens. But it's something that I consider myself already coming back, so it's not even something that I've thought about.
That kind of pours cold water on all the thoughts that he'd come back to the Knicks. Leon Rose supposedly wants him, but you know, why would you come to the Knicks? They're not ready to win. You're 36 years old. Portland has a really good team, and you fit in nicely, and you didn't mind being the third option. Stay there.
I think
I feel the same way.
Knicks could use him. I mean, they need a shooting forward. They don't have that. Julius Randle was a little bit of a disappointment, and he'd fit in nicely. But
it's sort of a test of where he is mentally.
Right.
If he wants to be the star player, he could come to the Knicks and be their primary option on a terrible team, or he can stay the third option on a team that will compete next year. So I think he stays in Portland. It totally rejuvenated him. I don't see why you rush.
Now, Don, Portland's your favorite team, right?
Oh, sure.
You going to tell us?
No.
You were so close.
Close.
No. You weren't that close, Don.
I even said if it goes 7.
Didn't happen.
What do you guys think about the Boston Celtics right now?
You know what? I was thinking about you. Because that's a heck of a win, right?
For me, you could be like Andrew Gunling, who poured a little cold water on the sweep of the Sixers, being like, we're not very good.
Just take the L.
But then you come out in game one and look like that? That's who doesn't want to start a playoffs 5 straight?
No, because I've had it.
I understand. I get it.
Can I tell you something, Peter? And this might be blasphemous.
Sure.
They might be better without Kyrie.
I don't know if you have to... I don't even know if I think it's... Is that blasphemous?
I mean, Kyrie's a great player.
Yeah, but sometimes, like we were talking about with the Islanders, it's not so much that he's not a great player, but are they better off without him?
Looks like they are.
Clearly, it looks like they are. Now, I wouldn't get too crazy about a game one win, because we saw in the first round that didn't really mean a lot, right? But, hey, you're in the second round. You haven't lost.
I'm feeling very good about him. Very, very good. I mean, listen, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. It's a long series, but they're good. Who's not in a great spot? Michael's friend, Doug Marrone. Starting to feel like the wheels have not, it's not like the wheels are coming off. Don, is it different when they just remove the wheels? The wheels aren't coming off in Jacksonville. They're unscrewing them and throwing them in the garbage.
All right, so you come in for a pit stop because you blew all four tires.
Right.
They took the four tires off, never replaced them.
Right. They just said, go ahead, you'll be fine. He said, what do you mean? Because Yannick Ngakoue traded to the Vikings for a 2021 second-round pick and a conditional 2022 fifth-round pick. By the way, that's what they moved him for?
Oh, yeah. You never get value in a football trade, ever.
I know, but like someone else didn't step up and offer a little bit better for Ngakoue? Anyways, the Jaguars also then waived running back Leonard Fournette.
Amazing they couldn't even get anything for him.
He was the number four overall pick in 2017. Finished last season with 1,152 yards. 76 receptions last year, guys, for 522 yards. Career highs. He's moving the right direction, and they just let him go.
Now, but nobody
wanted him. What is this team going to be? I mean, they're going to be dreadful.
How do you coach a team when everyone's going?
The rest of the league figured, yeah, I can give you a sixth-round pick for him, but you know what? You're going to be forced to release him, so I'll take my chances in just picking him up.
And talk about, I mean, Coughlin's no longer there, and it's Coughlin's birthday today, so happy birthday. But
yes,
they didn't do a great job. They're the leaders in the NFL in dead money. They have $44.8 million in dead money. Dead money. So, I mean, if you take a look at their drafts over the last 5 or 6 years, they don't have anything to show for it.
Right.
And then when you take a look at who they drafted and then who they passed over, it's startling. You know what? Teams are bad for a reason. You're not bad by accident. You're bad because you're bad. You make bad decisions.
Well, let's hear from Coach Marrone on how things played out with the interest in Leonard Fournette, or lack thereof.
My question was, you know, can we get any value? And it was we couldn't get any. So fifth, sixth, no, we couldn't get anything.
I don't understand.
As Joe Girardi would say, it's not what you want.
That's not what you want at all.
I know Michael kind of poo-pooed the idea of the Jets maybe kicking the tires on it because Fournette wants to be a starter. But if there's really that kind of lack of interest, then wouldn't you want to bring him in?
But would he want to come in?
Then if he doesn't want to come in, he doesn't want to come in. All right, that's him. But I would still check out and see what the deal is. If he doesn't want to sign, if somebody else wants to give him a contract, then so be it. But if you've got, you know, Bell a little banged up, and as you so eloquently said earlier, Gore is 1,000 years old, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I 100% am with you, Don. Also, will the Giants kick the can, if you will, or is it kick the tires?
Not kick the tires. Yeah, leave the can tires alone.
No, don't kick the can down the road. Kick the tires on Prince Amukamara, who says he wants to come home. He said, that's where I started. The Raiders cut him, and he said it would be awesome. He was the Giants' first-round pick in 2011. He got released on Monday. He was surprised by it. Of course, the Giants lost DeAndre Baker. They lost Sam Beal. And they now grab Logan Ryan, but could they also, Dom, be interested in Prince Amukamara?
No, I would. Now, again, what do you lose? You bring him in, all right? If he ends up being awful, then you cut him. I mean, he's not going to command a tremendous salary. I think he's north of 30 now. Well, he's got to be because he was on the 2011 Super Bowl team, so that was a decade ago. Why wouldn't you take a chance? And he's somebody that you know knows the area, knows the team. It's a lot different than the last time he was here. But they need bodies, Peter. This defense is not good, and they've also been banged up too. This training camp. So yeah, try to strengthen the secondary. I don't know what he has left, Peter, but I would take a look.
You have to. When you take the kind of losses they've had. The Jets appear to have ended their kicking competition. They released Brett Maher. And it looks like they'll be going with Sam Ficken, who was last year's kicker. Of course, it doesn't mean it's a guarantee. But, Dom, we're less than 2 weeks away from football, so it looks like it'll be he'll be the Ficken man again.
I mean, that Kansas City-Houston game, Peter, is the 10th, a week from Thursday.
Jesus.
It's no joke. Yesterday was 2 weeks away, exactly, from the first full weekend of Sunday football. And it's so weird.
It's so strange.
It's so strange because, you know, we're going to have some Giants on, you know, coming up tomorrow and all that. And we'll have some Jets coming up this week. But normally we'd be at camp. By this time we'd be, but Peter, we'd be like getting ready for week three of the preseason.
I don't know.
Week four, excuse me.
3-3 would be done. We would have already seen.
Right.
We would be analyzing what Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold did in their big dress rehearsals
because,
over the weekend.
Yeah, right. That's right. Because the next, because on Thursday would have been, you know, Jets, Eagles, Giants, Patriots, where nobody played.
Yep.
And other than a little bit of news that we've gotten over the last couple of days, Peter, it's just going to come out of nowhere. It's going to jump right out. Like a monster in the closet. It's just going to break down the door and from nowhere
to
now.
It's going to be the weirdest thing, Don.
Everybody's attention.
It's the one sport where we're always counting down. It feels like months and months. I just can't believe that next Thursday we're going to turn on the TV and there's going to be a professional NFL game. And with no crowd there, too. It's all going to be fascinating.
And like nothing ever before, okay? Just we went so long without any sports at all. And week one, there's going to be NBA playoff games. There's going to be NHL playoff games. There's going to be September baseball. Well, granted, it's not 162 games, but it's still September baseball with the Mets and Yankees jockeying for position. It's going to be sensory overload. And I'm wondering how everything will shake down from a rating standpoint, because normally you would say, oh, the football is just going to crush everything, right? But, you know, you're a Celtics fan.
Yeah, my football team.
If Celtics are playing a playoff game, again, I would have to take a look at the schedule, but if the Celtics are playing a postseason game against the Washington Football Club, is it automatic that Washington wins? Right? If you're an Islander fan,
no,
here
it's,
in New York,
it's a face-off. Like, it's a real face-off.
Like, honestly, like if you're an Islander, because I would think a lot of Islander fans might be Jet fans, right? The whole Long Island connection. And you've got an Islander playoff game, and they're in the conference final, and they're playing Tampa, and it's game three. I don't know. Again, I don't have the schedule in front of me, and the Jets are playing. Is it just automatic that, like, listen, the Islanders have played against the Jets for regular season hockey. But if you're a diehard Islander fan, they're in the conference final for the first time since 1993. It's going to be an early season football game. Do the Jets automatically win the faceoff? I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see. Could the NFL ratings
at least have a dent?
Be a little bit of a tick down just because it will have legitimate competition in certain markets.
We will see very, very soon. Also, by the way, Bengals coach Zach Taylor is confident Joe Burrow will start week one. They had a scrimmage on Sunday, and he didn't play as well as he had in the first scrimmage. However, Coach Taylor says he's seen enough, and not Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights, the actual Bengals coach. Coach Taylor has seen enough and says he's been, quote, pretty impressive. So we will see the number one overall pick start. Alvin Kamara, absent from Saints camp. That is a contract situation.
Oh, boy.
He's scheduled to make $2 million in the final year of his rookie contract. He reported for the start of training camp, participated for the first several weeks, but no big surprise, not a shock at least, that someone who's performed like Kamara wants more than $2 million for the third year of the final year of his rookie deal. That's sort of standard issue in the NFL these days. Hey, Don?
Yes?
I know how you feel about golf. You're a gigantic, gigantic fan.
Can't wait.
I will watch
every golf.
So let's hear John Rahm's 66-foot putt for the win yesterday.
Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes.
Wow!
My, oh, my. At the BMW Championship. Don, that's even for you. 66 for the win.
Hey, listen. I'm not great at math, but that's a distance. That is... That is a distance.
50.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.